The boy sings pretty good. If we had a song, we might have a record. That was how the most successful and spectacular career in entertainment began. The words were spoken by guitar player Scotty Moore about a 19-year-old singer named Elvis Presley in the spring of 1954. The assessment was an understatement, to be sure, but it was befitting of Scotty Moore, who had seen hopefuls come and go in a business that has an abundance of pretty good singers. Sam Phillips had asked Scotty to listen to Elvis for an evaluation as to his potential as a recording artist. What Scotty saw was almost as impressive as what he heard. Scotty recalls that first meeting this way.
Well, my first meeting was naturally a couple of weeks before, or rather, no, it wasn't a couple of weeks. It was a few days before our first actual session. I had been working with Sam for several months, trying to come up with a record, an artist, a song, or anything that we could make a buck out of. And during this process, Elvis's name came up, and Sam gave me his number. I called him, come over to my house, and listened to him sing. So he came over one Sunday afternoon and listened. Well, we played, rather. He sang, played, I guess, a couple of hours. Bill Black at the time was living a few doors down the street. He came down, listened to a couple of songs, and left. And after he left, I called Sam and told him, I said, well, the boy sings pretty good. I said, he did knock me out. And he said, well, what do you think? Well, we need a song or what? I said, yeah, I think with the right song, he would be, be good on record. When I first met Elvis, when he came to my house on that Sunday afternoon, he had on pink shirt, pink pants with white stripes down the legs, and white shoes. And I thought my wife was going to go out the back door. Just shocked because people just weren't wearing that kind of flashy clothes at the time. They had the heavy sideburns and the ducktails, just a lot of hair. Bill and I were working together with a group called the Starlight Wranglers, what we referred to as just a regular juke joint or honky-tonk band at the time, and which there were many bands of that type around. The singer's name was Doug Poindexter, and was Doug Poindexter and the Starlight Wranglers. Bill was working daytime Firestone building tires, and I was working for my brother who had a cleaning plant, cleaning, blocking hats for him. Oh, Elvis was driving a truck at Crown Electric at the time when we first met him. I don't remember how long he worked there after we started performing, just in town, in those early weeks. Couldn't have been very long.
Scotty, how did Elvis happen to come to Sam Phillips' studio in the first place?
Elvis had been in, which was then known really as Memphis Recording Service. He had been in there about a year before. The Memphis Recording Service was a service where anyone could walk in off the street with a guitar or what have you and make a personal recording of their own. So Elvis had been in with his guitar to make a record as a gift for his mother, I think her birthday, I believe. And in the process, Sam and his secretary, Marion Keisker, both thought the boy had a good voice and had just kept his name on file. And like I said, approximately a year later, when I came in contact with Sam and in discussing it, well, his name had come up.
What happened when you, Elvis, and Bill Black went to the studio to record?
Next meeting was a few days later when we went into the studio for, again, primarily an audition. Sam, in the meantime, had called him and asked him if he would mind coming in the studio and like to put his voice on tape and see how it came back, and which he, of course, readily agreed to. And Bill and I only went in with him as to have just some kind of meager accompaniment with him so he wouldn't be standing alone studio, you know. The first song I think we put out was I Love You Because, the same cut as the one that's on record. We went through several different songs, and again, a problem would be for him to sing something that we knew, because Bill and myself both played by ear. They always played by ear. But anyway, we went through two or three different songs, and more or less taking a break, having coffee, Coke, and they always started clowning around. Just picked up his guitar and started kibitzing, singing That's All Right, Mama. He started singing That's All Right, Mama and clowning around studio, dancing, just cutting up in general. And Bill picked up his bass, started slapping and clowning also. And then I joined in, and we're just a rhythm vamp. And Sam was in the control room, the door was open, and he came out and said, "What are y'all doing?" I said, "That sounds pretty good." I said, we don't know. He said, "Well, see if you can do it again the same way. Let's put it on tape, see what it sounds like." I said, "Sound pretty good through the door." So we kind of looked around at each other and said, "Well, what was we doing?" So we backtracked and tried to do it again. And I think we did it twice more. We did once for Sam to get a balance, and then we put it on tape. And that was it.
When was the second song, Blue Moon of Kentucky, recorded?
A few days later, next night or two. Oh, gosh, I don't remember. But we had the one song. We didn't know what we had. We knew it was different. So now the problem was to get something for the other side in the same vein. And I don't remember what kind of songs we possibly went through in this session. But again, during a break, Bill Black started clowning and singing Blue Moon in Kentucky in a high falsetto a la Bill Monroe. But he was slapping the bass and everything. And Elvis joined in and started singing it with him. And I think we all knew immediately when this happened that this might be, you know, what we was looking for. So we kind of stopped and figured out where to start and stop and put it on tape, and that was it.
What happened after the first record was completed? Did Elvis join your band?
Elvis played the Bon Air Club with the Starlight Wranglers group first. That was in other words, he came out there as an added attraction, guest artist, what have you. The first plan was Elvis would become a part of the already existing group. And we did a few shows of that nature with Elvis as a added feature attraction. But as most bands go, dissension became apparent almost immediately. Dissension among the troops, so to speak, because we had to, since Bill and I had recorded the two songs with him, when he'd come on, well, everybody else had to drop out or it wouldn't be the record. And so I think you can see where that immediately became a, from the other guys, which rightfully so, they're left out of a spotlight situation. And so after a week or two, a few weeks of this, everybody more or less agreed that, well, this is not going to work this way, so, you know, you guys go ahead and it looks like this thing might turn into something good. I don't think there was any ill feelings among anyone, just situation of the times.
Where'd the group appear in those earliest days, and what was it like?
Well, we traveled around Memphis from Cat's drugstore openings to high school auditorium assemblies, guest shots at the Eagle's Nest, which was a nightclub on Highway 78, adjacent to a swimming pool, a summer play area. Our first public appearance was the Cat's drugstore, the opening of the Cat's drugstore at Lamar and Airways. And we played on a flatbed truck in the parking lot. after we did these few stints in town, in Memphis, well, it was during this period that Elvis signed a management contract with me, which was a protection device. Bob Neal started booking us. He had an early morning radio show on WMPS, which early morning just boomed right down the Delta. So we started working a lot of schoolhouse shows down through that area. Also some in Arkansas and Mississippi, I'd say, would be the first territory that we went into outside of Memphis. And Bill Black, who was a bass player in our old group, was the clown. You know, if you remember back then, everybody had to have a clown in the group. Well, some of those early shows, if it hadn't been for Bill, we would have all fell just flat on our face, because Elvis was such an oddity, if you will, that when people first saw him, when he first came on and started performing, they were in shock. And through Bill's antics combined with Elvis, his own antics, the crowd would finally just loosen up and fall to pieces, you know. But Bill would be the one that, because he was doing stuff like riding the bass, and he'd get a pair of bloomers and put them on, or do anything to get the crowd loosened up. And if we had to really contribute concert success to anyone in the very early days, it would have to be to Bill, from my standpoint. The minute the crowd would break open, then Elvis would have him in the palm of his hands then from then on. The period between 54, latter part of 54, July to at least Christmas, Mississippi, Arkansas, and of course Louisiana, in and around Shreveport, the immediate area of Shreveport. This would be primarily from the Louisiana Hayride broadcast, because KWKH covered that area real good.
How was the group received by the audiences you played for? What did they think of Elvis?
Well, the first time we went down there was some dates that Tim and Frank had supposedly booked for us. I said, well, we were down there for the hayride, but in the process we were staying to do these dates. The dates didn't materialize, and we were hung up there in a hotel and couldn't pay our hotel bill and get out for a couple of weeks, I believe. And Pappy Covington, who was a booking agency that booked a lot of the hayride acts, finally got us a couple of bookings in East Texas before we could bail out of the hotel and get back to Memphis, so we could start all over, do the same thing again.
Whose car was the group using to make your dates?
Well, we started out traveling on the road in a 54 Bel Air Chevrolet, which, it actually belonged to my wife, Bobby, because she was working at Sears and making car payments. And the three of us were working as hard as we could trying to keep gas in it to get to our dates. We drove the 54 Chevy about 40,000 miles, I suppose, and it gave out on us. Then Elvis got a Lincoln, a 49 or 50 model Lincoln, which only lasted a couple of months. We had a wreck in that. And then he got the 54 Cadillac, which he had painted pink. The pink Cadillac caught fire and burned just outside of Texarkana, Arkansas, one night right after a show. My rear wheel bearing locked up, and Elvis was in the car with a date, and Bill and I were following in another car. And when we caught up to him, he was on the side of the road, frantically emptying the trunk, throwing guitars and amplifiers and clothes. It took us 2 hours to get everything out of the ditch after the car burnt. Elvis was very unhappy about the car burning, because that was naturally the first real honest-to-goodness show car, I guess you could say.
When you played the Grand Ole Opry in Nashville, Tennessee, what happened there?
The first and only appearance that we made on the Grand Ole Opry was kind of earth-shattering for all involved, I guess. They wouldn't let us do but one song, and we had to do Blue Moon in Kentucky because it was a country song. The audience reaction was very light, so I was just in total, it was a bomb, really what it amounted to.
Some 2 weeks later, the group played the Louisiana Hayride. What was that like?
The first Hayride appearance, there was, as I remember, a good crowd. I don't think they had a full house, necessarily, but it was a younger crowd than we'd experienced at the Grand Ole Opry, a much younger crowd. It was like a place for people to go on Saturday night, and they reacted. I mean, they reacted. The next time we were there, they brought their friends, and so on. Sam was handling all the negotiations on that, where we, I don't know if we went back the following Saturday night. I know we were invited back, and we went back a time or two, and Sam went down with us and got with the people in charge to negotiate Elvis being a regular member of the Hayride staff.
Thank you, friends. Thank you very much.